Welcome into another episode of the NHL at the Rink podcast. And Sean, we've got one team that has punched its ticket to the Stanley Cup final. It is the Vegas Golden Knights, and one more is one win away. That is the Carolina Hurricanes. So we're almost there. We are almost set for the Stanley Cup final. Vegas and almost Carolina. I guess somewhat surprising the way Vegas got there, but you know, I mean, these are two really good teams.
Great teams. My bag is packed. Just picked the last stuff up from the dry cleaners. We know we're going east, even if Montreal comes back. And judging by their first two rounds, who's gonna write off the Canadiens, right? Like, they just keep on doing things that you don't expect. It's going to be really hard in this series. They're the first team, I think, in the history of the playoffs to have less than 18 shots in three consecutive games. What did they have? Two shots in the third period last night, and both of them came. All three of them came in the last 5 minutes, did they not?
All three of them came in the last 3 minutes of game four, and the fans were imploring the Canadians to shoot the puck. They were chanting it.
Were they chanting it in English or French or franglais?
They were chanting it in English. I understood it. I did not need any translation. They were chanting it, and they were right. And Marty St. Louis, after the game, said they were right. He admitted it. They were right.
Were they right? How can you shoot? You don't have anything to shoot at. Like, I think at some point, Carolina's opponents are like, yeah, I would love to shoot the puck. What do you want me to shoot it into? You want me to shoot it into Eric Staal's knee pads? You want me to shoot it into Keandre Miller's chest? Do you want me to shoot it into Logan Stankoven's stick? Where would you like me to shoot the puck?
You're 100% right. By the way, we're going to have Nick Kotzinik, our columnist from NHL.com, joining us here soon. We'll be talking a lot about Vegas, a lot about Carolina, and where this is going in the Eastern Conference Final. They're up 3-1. But you're 100% right, Sean. There is that question of where do you want me to shoot the puck. I will say this, though. So Lane Hutson has the puck on his stick, takes an extra step with it, a little too long. That shot gets blocked by Shane Gostisbehere. It creates a 2-on-1 the other way. Logan Stankoven scores to put him up 3-0. Got to shoot it quicker. Nick Suzuki in the first period had a wide open look. Puck came right to him in the slot. He hesitated. He faked a shot. And then, boom, the puck was gone because it wasn't quicker. If you're going to play against the Carolina Hurricanes, and if they move on, this is got to be what the Vegas Golden Knights are thinking and preparing for. You have to make your decisions quicker. You have to, and Marty St. Louis says it a lot, we got to think quicker into the future, be that as it may. They just have to make decisions quicker. They have not been making those decisions in real time, instantaneously. And if you don't do that against the Carolina Hurricanes, they are right up in your grill. They are sticks in the lane, and their sticks are unbelievable. They knock everything down. So it's got to be quick. It's got to be right away, and they're not doing that. Those are the opportunities that they're passing up on, and it's not that they're passing up on them. They're just not quick enough to get them, so they don't get the opportunity. And so there are chances there, but there are not a lot of them.
And I got to disagree with you a little bit, because sometimes the worst thing you can do is shoot. I'm going to take you back to Vegas, Colorado. Game one, series still in the balance. No Cale Makar. Sam Malinsky's on the point, power play. He decides to shoot. Brett Howden standing right in front of him. He doesn't walk the line. He doesn't delay. He whacks one right into Brett Howden's pads. Bounces into the neutral zone. Brett Howden goes and chases it down. Player coming out of the box gives it to him. That player scores.
Yep.
All of it happens because Sam Malinsky got impatient and took a shot that he never should have took. So when fans are screaming, shoot, 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 it's not always the answer. There's times against a team like Vegas or a team like Carolina that shooting could be the worst possible thing you could do, because they feast off of block shots and the transition that relates from it. So Montreal fans, yell all you want. You're not right.
Well, I think they were right in this instance because they were passing up shots, but it was a 3-0 game at this point. They were making seam passes when a one-timer was available for them and a lane is available for them. And that's what I meant with Lane Hutson, is that the shot he took was not a good shot because Goss Despair was in the lane. Had he taken the shot when he got the puck, Goss Despair was not in the lane. His hesitation, the inability to make that quick decision, allowed Shane Goss Despair to get into the lane. If he shoots it quicker, that puck might get on net. Nick Suzuki had no one in front of him, and he doesn't shoot it. He hesitates, and he tries to make a play with the puck. That's a terrible thing to do against Carolina because they will lift your stick. They will knock the puck away. Their reach on the back end is, I mean, if it's not Slavin, it's Keandre Miller. I mean, it's remarkable. So that I think is where that was my point on the decisions that they need to make faster. And that's what you're up against when you're playing the Carolina Hurricanes. And if they move on, that's what Vegas is going to be up against when they do it as well. So it's actually going to be, it's a really fascinating thing, Sean, to watch unfold because, again, we're all the way upstairs. We see these things, right? Oh, why didn't he shoot it there? It's a heck of a lot different when you're on the ice, but it's fascinating to watch how it all works for the Hurricanes when they're on their game, and they've been on their game for the past three games, no doubt about it. And I think it's going to be, if it ends up being the Stanley Cup final, I think that's going to be a real challenge for the Vegas Golden Knights to be able to do that. Now, I do think that they can because they're playing great. But it's a fascinating thing to watch when the Hurricanes are on their game, how they get their sticks in lanes, how they get their body position, how they knock pucks away. It's remarkable.
I'm not going to blame Hutson for anything at this point because I don't even know how he's standing. That is a brave, brave 22-year-old because he has been slobber-knocked game after game. It is unbelievable the shots that Carolina is getting on him when they dump the puck and make him go chase it in the corners. Like, that is what a forechecker lives for, and they are feasting.
Yeah. And you look at his face, right? I mean, he's got cuts all over him. He's got to have a lot of bruises on him. I give the kid so much credit because he keeps getting up, and he keeps going back for the puck, and he keeps getting hit. And he keeps getting up, but that's the game plan. That's what they needed to do. They knew they needed to do that starting with the first period of game one. They couldn't in the first period of game one because the Hurricanes were all out of whack. Like that was so unlike them. And the Canadians deserve a lot of credit because they were really good in that first period. And Hutson was really good in that first period. But that's the game plan. And you're four games into the Eastern Conference Final, and Lane Hutson doesn't look anything like he looked when game one started. And that was after playing 2 7-game series. So that game plan is obviously working for the Hurricanes.
And it's a similar game plan to what Vegas used to absolutely shock the Colorado Avalanche. I'm not saying Vegas couldn't win that series. I think there were a few people on our staff that might have picked them. I was not one of them. I had a Colorado-Carolina Stanley Cup final. I believe after this round, I might actually be sub-500 in my picks. So what do I know? But that is what they did to the Colorado Avalanche. And it was thorough. I mean, a sweep is always thorough. And some of the games were close. I don't know how close any of it really was. It just seemed like Vegas was always in control of this series. Even when they were down. They were down in game two, 1-0, and they win 3-1. They were down in game three, 3-0, they win 5-3. Colorado was a team that had been 45-0 combined in the regular season and the playoffs when they led in the third period this year. Crazy, crazy number. They lost two third period leads in a 4-game series.
So before we get to Nick, and we're going to talk a lot about Vegas with Nick Kotsenik, our columnist with NHL.com, I want to fall on my sword here briefly. I picked the Vegas Golden Knights at the start of the season to win the Stanley Cup. I picked the Vegas Golden Knights to play the Montreal Canadiens at the start of the playoffs in the Stanley Cup final. I went 11-1, Sean, in the first th two rounds. And then I went away from Vegas. I was convinced after Colorado's comeback in game five against Minnesota that there's nothing that was going to stop the Colorado Avalanche. So I picked Colorado and Carolina. And you know I am kicking myself right now. Why didn't I just stick with the Vegas Golden Knights? Start of the season, start of the playoffs. What is wrong with me? This is why I'm not a good gambler, and this is why I don't gamble.
You don't have confidence in yourself.
No, apparently not.
It's a shame, Dan. You should have confidence in yourself. It might be misplaced at times, but you should have it. But look, I really wonder how different the series is if Cale Makar plays from the start and he's healthy, right? They have a little bit more control of the puck at that point. They could break out of their own end. Like, I think Cale Makar is like a secret weapon that's not so secret, right? He's a one-man breakout. The biggest issue that Colorado had in the first two games was they could not get out of their own end. The forecheck was so suffocating that there were D going back, really talented D, because their defense is more than Cale Makar. I mean, they have Devin Toews, they have Sam Molinsky, who had 40 points this year. You know, they have Brent Burns, who's played through every system known to mankind. They couldn't get out of their own end, and it was disastrous. It just put them under so much pressure, almost constantly. So I'm curious if Cale Makar plays from the beginning and they're able to break out of their own end and they have a little more confidence. To me, that's a 6 or 7 game series. I still, with the way Vegas is playing, I don't know that Colorado wins it like I thought they did going in, but I think they give them a series. That injury was so poorly timed for Colorado. Like, it is amazing how one player can derail your whole season. And so when Cale Makar comes up, you better remember this playoff round and how important he is when you need to re-sign him.
Oh, well, I don't think that I mean, I think he can pretty much, say what he wants and he'll get it. That's this helps, obviously. This helps, no doubt about it. But you're probably right. That he you're 100% right. That he's an irreplaceable player and he's one of the best players in the world. We'll get to more of Colorado on the back end, but let's get to Nick Kotsenika, our columnist with NHL.com. We talked to him all about Vegas, Carolina, Montreal, where things are going right now. Setting up what looks like, but not official yet, is a Stanley Cup final matchup. Here's our interview with Nick Kotsenika. Nick, thanks for joining us. So the three of us are going to be in a Stanley Cup final soon, maybe sooner than we thought we were going to be there. I guess we'll start with Vegas, Nick, because you've been out west covering a lot of the playoffs. Listen, I'm not surprised that Vegas is doing well. You look at the roster, you look at everything, but I guess I'm surprised by how they're doing it and the way in which they kind of just dismantled the Colorado Avalanche. You shocked too?
I'm shocked they swept the Avalanche. I mean, I picked Colorado to win the series. I mean, Colorado's been the best team all year by a significant margin. Now, I didn't realize that Cale Makar would miss the first two games. I didn't realize MacKinnon would get hurt and miss half a game. Some other guys are banged up. That's certainly a factor. But you look at Vegas, and they got better as each of the first two series went along, and they've gotten better as the playoffs have gone along as a whole. And they've become, a buzzsaw, as Jared Bednar put it. I mean, they're really tough to play against. They made life difficult for Colorado. They've got a lot of belief, as you saw in the two comeback wins. This is a really good hockey team playing its best hockey at the right time.
Look, I think that Cale Makar being out obviously hurt Colorado, right? They looked disjointed in game one. They were a little better in game two. They tried to nurse a one goal lead until Nick jinxed them in the press box. And then, so all the Colorado fans can blame Nick. for saying
this is true. This
what
is
I
true.
should what I should write my Colorado story about with about 10 minutes left. And then Jack Eichel pumps a perfect shot past him. And then before I could even yell at him, Barbashev pumps another perfect shot past Wedgwood, and Bob's your uncle, right? So, but with all of that said, it seems to me from watching Vegas earlier in the playoffs compared to when they played Colorado, they changed their system, right? And how they play defense, right? And everybody said, oh, Torts hasn't done anything since he's gotten to Vegas. He's just given them confidence. But I saw a different defensive team against Colorado than I did against Anaheim, did I not?
Yeah, and you go back to the Utah series, right? Like, remember, Vegas was down to Utah 2-1, right? Looked overwhelmed by Utah's speed early, adjusted during that series. Then against Anaheim, again, early in that series, there were times they looked overwhelmed by the speed. And, you know, I think they changed some things in the neutral zone, made sure they have the middle of the ice covered, made it really difficult to get through. And then also just their trademark in front of the net, right? They collapse in front of the net. They block shots, they tie up sticks, they get in lanes, and they just made it really difficult for Colorado to use that speed and skill, right? So I think they learned from the first two series, applied what they learned. It's not like a major adjustment, but just, you know, a little thing that made a big difference. And, you know, like Jack Eichel, I think, is a big part of that. But, yeah, and you know, if – well, I don't want to go ahead to the Stanley Cup final yet because we don't know who they're playing. But like if they do play Carolina, right, that's two teams that can really be difficult to play against, right? Really smother you. And the way Vegas is playing right now is a lot like that.
Yeah, nobody's going to have a shot on goal in that series.
Right. It's going to be like 3-2 shots on goal.
Yeah, no one will. Before we get there, like you, Sean, you brought it up. John Tortorella, right? Like he's not taking any credit. And that's sort of his way here. Like when it goes well, he typically will deflect to the players. When it doesn't, he'll typically, you know, be harder on players, but harder on himself too. But I think you're right, Sean. I think John Tortorella has changed some things there. He's done more than he's letting on. He had to. It's impossible to say that he hasn't, because when he took over this team, and Nick, you all know this too, like, they didn't look anything like this. They didn't look anything like this. They looked shell-shocked and looked like they were going nowhere. And even in that first round, I thought for sure like Utah's speed was going to continue to overwhelm them, because that's what we had seen from Vegas through the course of the season, that they just couldn't find that next level. They couldn't play to the skill and the talent and the ability and the experience they have. So I think John Tortorella is shortchanging himself on purpose, to be honest with you. But he's done more there, Nick, than he's letting on.
Well, of course. I mean, look at the record since Torts has been there, right? 19-4-1. I mean, that says it all. I mean, let's go back to when they made the change. This was a team that was sort of in danger of missing the playoffs altogether. You know, I think they had a 4-point cushion on a playoff spot, and they had, you know, their record since the Olympic break was awful. But this was a team that was clearly underachieving. I mean, the core of this team won the Stanley Cup in 2023. This was supposed to be a Stanley Cup contender this season. So it's not like it was a bad team. It was a good team playing poorly. You know, you bring in Torts, and everyone thinks of Torts as this firebrand, which he is, but it wasn't to berate them. It was to give them swagger. Right. They had lost. I remember Kelly McCrimmon talking about it. They just lost their spirit. They were just sort of in a malaise. And he comes in, and his biggest thing that he did, more than X's and O's, was reminding them of how good they are. Like, you guys are a good bleeping team. And believe me, Torts has used the bleep. Right. Like, you know, he just reminded the team as a whole and certain individuals how good they are, how good they can be. You know, they got hot down the stretch. And then they fought their way through two, you know, tough early parts of series in the first two rounds and found their stride, right? And you really saw it against Colorado, right? They're healthy now, remember, too. You know, William Karlsson comes back. That's a massive add for them, which they didn't have most of the season. Mark Stone, who they lost, has come back and has been effective. So that's a huge thing, right? And Marner's playing great. Eichel's playing great. Dorofeev You talk about what Torts has done. And I'm gonna, my memory is terrible, but at one point he benches Dorofeev, demotes him to the fourth line, then right back the next game puts him back on the first line, right? He gets some goals, he gets some confidence, and now he's scoring, and not only scoring, like going to the net, he's even blocked some shots. Like, he's playing playoff style hockey, which is something he's not known for. So he got Pavel Dorofeev going. Lots of little things like that.
He got Thomas Hertl going. He got the King Kong off his back. But I think the player that he impacted the most to me is Shea Theodore, right? Like, you look at Shea's numbers at the end of the regular season, they weren't ugly, right? Like, he had 30-something points, but they weren't Shea Theodore numbers. Now he's playing in the playoffs. He's scoring. He's a huge plus. He's playing 26 minutes a game. Just, he dominates almost every shift he's out there. And that was not the player he was in the regular season. That was a man who was searching for something.
If you talk to people around the Golden Knights, they'll tell you that the player who most benefited from the coaching change was Shea Theodore. And no one wants to say a bad word about Bruce Cassidy, because this guy won the Stanley Cup with the Vegas Golden Knights. He's a great coach. He's going to be back in the league again. But the way this season was going, it wasn't going well. And Shea was struggling and struggling with his confidence. Torts comes in, and he's a guy who got a big boost from that, I think, on and off the ice. I mean, mentally and X's and O's wise. And Shea has been outstanding offensively and defensively in these playoffs. And remember, this is a team that lost Alex Pietrangelo, right? We all, like, forget about Alex Pietrangelo. He was one of their time on ice leaders in the playoffs last season. That's a huge hole, to fill. And now Shea has stepped up and playing like a number one defenseman. And they've gotten some depth defensemen to contribute too, like Dylan Coughlin. And even Caden Korzak recently. So a lot of good things for Vegas.
And look, let's be fair. They're getting goaltending. Carter Hart's been good.
Outstanding.
Bruce Cassidy, yeah, he's been outstanding. When Bruce Cassidy was the coach, they weren't really getting good goaltending. And goaltending is the best friend of a coach. And it's good goaltending is a coach's best friend. So Vegas is in. Let's flip it here now. I'm sitting here in Montreal, a city that is chanting, shoot the puck. You know, like, they're chanting, shoot the puck. They're at the Bell Center. They are cheering for Jakub Dobish when Nikolaj Ehlers hits the crossbar and the net is empty. Okay, like that. Like, they're not sure what to do. Exactly, really, what it is here, and that's what the Carolina Hurricanes have done. So they're up 3-1 in the series, Carolina, and we just had a media availability a short while ago, and Jordan Staal said, last night's game, game four, Wednesday night, was maybe the best game he's ever seen the Hurricanes play, because it was every forward, every defenseman, the goaltender, every area, except for a 5-on-3, which was not good. They were pretty much at their best. And that's what it looks like when Carolina's at their best. And Montreal had no answer. And honestly, like, we'll look ahead here. I don't see the Montreal Canadiens finding an answer to win the series. They may find an answer to win a game, right? Let's not count them out. They may find an answer to win a game, but I do not see them finding an answer to win the series. And so it's looking like, to, you know, Carolina Vegas. And then it really becomes a question, right, guys, of like style of play and who can exert theirs better. And I'm watching the Hurricanes closely now. And I don't see a team that can go up against that when they're at their best, because they don't give you any time and space to do anything.
Well, Vegas may, right? So Montreal has a shot if there's 11 days between the next game, which I don't think there is, right? Like, think about how scary Carolina is. They've lost one game in the playoffs, and that one game was coming off an 11-day break when they were clearly, like, rusty and out of sorts, right? Like, this is a scary team. It's a machine. Like, I've been watching them on TV, not live. It looks like they got six or seven players on the ice all the time.
Yes.
Right? They just smother everybody. They're in your face as soon as you get the puck. Now, that's the way Vegas played against Colorado a good bit, right? The scary thing about Vegas is they're a team that can get outshot and still capitalize on the few opportunities they get and beat you. And that's what's going to make this really kind of fun, right? I think you're absolutely right Like if we get Vegas Carolina, you could have two teams that play low event hockey in terms of shots on goal, right? Like they just block a lot of shots, get in a lot of lanes, make it difficult to get the puck to the net. But Vegas is a team that you can outshoot them, and they'll still be up on you at the end of the period or the end of the day. So that's going to make it very, very interesting. And special teams will be massive if we get that matchup.
I think Colorado outshot Vegas in every game of the last round. Look, Vegas is really smart. Their forwards are smart. They've been through it before. They've had time and space taken away from them, and they know that it's one shot for them, right? They have so many skilled players in Marner and Eichel and all those guys, Dorofeev, that they're able to, take a limited amount of chances and score on them. Again, that's exactly what they did to Colorado, and I think they broke Colorado's spirit. But I saw Carolina early on live, and I've watched them since. They are, and I've covered them in almost every heartbreak that they've had in the last 8 years. At some point in each of those eight playoffs, I've been embedded with the Carolina Hurricanes, and they are a different team. I think they have a belief. I think they're fresher, which is huge. The fact that they were able to get through their first two rounds without a hiccup gave them time. It hurt them in game one, but even in game one, they were the better team for two out of the three periods. I think their style wears on them, and when it doesn't pay dividends, it becomes really difficult to play. I think you saw that against Florida in the Eastern Conference Finals. But none of that's happened. And I also think that Rod Brind'Amour, their coach, has finally embraced the failures. It used to be a really prickly subject around the Carolina Hurricanes. Well, you get to the playoffs every year, but you can't win. You can't win in the conference finals. You guys are one in whatever it was, 1 in 16 in the last four conference finals. And people would get their hackles up. We're not that team. And then this year, all of a sudden, Rod's like, yeah, that's the narrative. Have fun with it. We're not that team. And almost in embracing it, he was able to let his team and himself let it go.
Well, I will say that this was the year to embrace it, right? You mentioned Florida. Florida's not in the tournament this year, and that's a blip. That's a blip, right? Florida's going to get healthy, come back next season, and be a contender. This is the year they had to at least make the Stanley Cup final, and they're one game away. Now, if they play Vegas, Vegas is not Florida, but there's some similarities there. Vegas is big. Vegas can hit. Vegas has high-end skill. I think Vegas has the advantage in that sense, right? Like I said, can cash in on opportunities, and they're smart, right? They maybe can find a way to use that aggressiveness against Carolina. So I think if we do get Vegas Carolina, it's a stiff challenge, right? And we'll see if that dynamic that you described plays out in the final.
Yeah, one thing, Nick, that you said before is Vegas is a team that doesn't need a lot of opportunities to make you pay. Montreal is the same way. They
Of
don't
course.
they don't need a lot of opportunities to make you play. The difference is that Vegas has a heck of a lot more experience. They're a little bit bigger too, I think, but that experience and understanding of, the consistency that you need to play with, and if the opportunity is not there, they know how to play when the opportunity is not there. Right now, Montreal is struggling, looking a little lost
Right.
with that. They're struggling to figure out how to play when the opportunity is not there. And that's a big reason why they're down 3-1 in this series, and why they've really been outplayed for 11 of 12 periods in this
Well,
series. And that's a big difference for Vegas, I think.
yeah, I mean, I think, look, Montreal is the best comeback team in the regular season. But Vegas is right up there too. They're patient, right? Like you said, they're a veteran team, they're bigger, they're more structured. Right. They play a better defensive game, but they're patient. They just believe that like they can come back and win. And they've proven that in the playoffs, right? Sometimes it's to their detriment. But like keep talking about Vegas, but this stat blows me away. The only team in the regular season that spent more time trailing in the NHL than the Vegas Golden Knights, the Vancouver Canucks, the last place team in the league. Like they've played from behind all season. And it's one of the reasons Cassidy got fired, right? This is a different team now, but the point is they're used to playing from behind. They don't panic, right? They'll play a patient defensive game if that's what the game calls for. and bide their time and believe that they're going to cash in on a chance when it matters.
Yeah, and look, I think that, you know, they don't ever blink, right? Colorado comes in game three, McCarr's back, and they blitz him. 3-0. Ready to turn the TV off, go watch something else. 19 seconds into the second period, they're on the board, and all of a sudden you're like, they're back. They're going to come back. This game is going to be 3-3 at some point, and it was, and they won. Like, I think that belief has come. I think they've had it all along. They never had the goaltending. Like everything we talked about in that game, nobody ever talked about the fact that Carter Hart never let up another goal, right? He never quit. He stopped everything after that. And I think a goaltender knows at that point, my team could get me back in it. All I have to do is be better than I was in that first period. And I think he thinks they could get him back in it, even if he let up another two. If it was five, they were going to win 6-5. And I'm not sure that I don't believe that at this point after watching them for a few games live. I think the difference is Carolina can't score like that, right? Dan, you talked about it. Jordan Staal said that's the best game we've played in the playoffs.
Yep.
They scored three goals.
Yeah. Well, I mean, 3 goals in 2 minutes and 47 seconds. And they played incredible hockey in games two and three. They played Hurricanes hockey. They're pressuring in your face, up the ice, cutting off the blue line, forcing turnovers, doing all the things they do. And they had to win both the games in overtime. You know, now I will say this, Montreal said, you know, Mike Matheson from the Canadiens, and he's right, said we're two shots away from being up 3-0. He said that after game three. They didn't get two shots. They didn't get a shot on goal in overtime of game two, and they got one shot on goal in overtime in game three. That's what the Hurricanes do. But you're right, Sean. I mean, they are a go back to what you said. They're different. Part of the reason that the Hurricanes are different is they are more skilled than they have ever been. And this is why I think that even if they were playing Florida of last year, the Panthers of last year and the past few years, I think they would be far more competitive and win more games. Do they win the series? I don't know, but far more competitive because Nikolaj Ehlers is there, because Logan Stankoven is more established, because Taylor Hall is more established, because Keandre Miller has been absolutely terrific on the back end. He hadn't been there, right? Jackson Blake is far more of an established player now. They have more skill than they have had. But it doesn't always translate to goals. And that could be the issue that they do face, because like you talked about before, like we talked about before, Nick, Vegas doesn't need a lot to make you pay, and they're more experienced in understanding how to play that way than the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, right. Look at their top two players, right? Jack Eichel, Mitch Marner. And those are two excellent 200-foot players, and they're among the scoring leaders, all right? Or they're two scoring leaders in the playoffs, right? Like those guys are at their highest level, as far as I can tell. They're healthy, right? They're humming, right? And I don't think that Carolina has two guys like those two. You know, they're two of the best in the world right now, and they're feeling it, right? So I mean, I can't say enough about Marner, about what he's done in these playoffs. Like he's played, you know, every forward position. He's played on the penalty kill, set up shorthanded goals. He's been moved around on the power play. And he's playing his best hockey. So, and then there's Eichel, right? Like he hadn't scored in like 11 games when he finally potted one the other night. But he had like 13 assists in that time and played, you know, helped shut down McKinnon. Like just really, really playing at a high level.
I think he's a completely different player since he won the cup, Jack Eichel. Like the confidence that he's brought to his game, that he brought to the Olympics, you know, he was a huge part of that identity that the Americans had that served them so well. You know, when the chips were down against Sweden, when they were in a dogfight with Canada, like that isn't a player that played his first few years in Buffalo, a player who doubted himself, who wondered if he'd ever be healthy. And you know, I think winning changed him completely. And I think you're seeing that now with Mitch Marner, right? Everybody always said, oh, well, Mitch, he's a really nice player. Things get hard in the playoffs and he goes away. He's not going away. He wasn't as good. Let me say this. I don't think he was as good against Colorado as he was in the first two rounds. It wasn't his fingerprints that were all over those series. It was other players that were all over that series. But that's part of the beauty of Vegas. I just think that, you know, people are like, well, why couldn't he ever do this with Toronto? And I think the reason he couldn't do it with Toronto is because he didn't have a Jack Eichel. He didn't have a Shea Theodore. He didn't have any of those guys. A Mark Stone, who are like, this is it. This is what we do. This is how we play. This is how it works when it's hard. Everybody in Toronto was trying to find that magic formula at the same time. There was nobody to say, shut up. This is what we do. This is how we play. Don't deviate from it. Believe. Here's my ring. I'll show you. He never had that.
And you go back to the start of the playoffs, Kelly McCrimmon did his, you know, media avail, and he talked about Marner, and he was kind of defending him, which is funny because Marner was a point-a-game player in the regular season, but he didn't have a great season. He's coming off 105 points or whatever the year before. It was like a 20-point drop. And he brought up Eichel. He said, if you look at Eichel at Buffalo, he had like a career-high 30-something goals. He comes to Vegas, drops off, wins the Stanley Cup. Right. Same thing. Right. You sacrifice some, you know, some offense to be part of a greater team. And that's the thing. And I would extend what you said, you know, to like the fourth line. Right. Like the Vegas, which completely restructured its fourth line. They're deep. Right. They're built for the playoffs. They're built for winning. And that's been demonstrated over nine seasons. Right. That they know how to do that, how to build a roster for this time of year. And how to get it done. So it's a completely different situation for Marner here, just like it was a completely different situation for Eichel. And then once you're rewarded for that, right, you buy in, you gain confidence, right, and you do become a different player. Like Eichel talked about, there was a key quote the other night where he said, that's how I've transformed my game, right? So right there goes right into what you're saying.
Definitely. I mean, listen, they're a juggernaut right now. They're playing great. Nick, we'll see you soon. Probably in Raleigh. Probably. But you never know. Not counting the Canadians out just yet. But probably in Raleigh. Thanks for joining us, Nick.
Great to be here. Thanks, boys.
Great stuff there from Nick. We'll see him soon. You just saw him. We'll see him soon at the Stanley Cup Final. It's going to start in either Carolina or Montreal. Looking like Carolina right now as they're up 3-1. But Sean, let's go back to Colorado because it was a stunning end to what was a terrific season, regular season, and two rounds of the playoffs, clearly falling short of expectations and their goals. So where do they go from here? What happens now? That's been the big question, right? And even John Tortorella in his press conference after game four, you know, saying, I'll clean it up, but, you know, stop riding Jared Bednar, basically. You know, don't blame him. Get off of his, you know what. Where does it go from here, do you think, with the Avalanche? Because this was a stunning fall for them.
Forts is a very eloquent man.
Yes. Very eloquent speaker.
Very eloquent speaker. I'll tell you where it doesn't go. And if it goes here, it's going to be one of the biggest mistakes in the history of hockey. It doesn't go anywhere that involves Jared Bednar not being the coach of the Colorado Avalanche. The Avalanche have one of the best coaches in the world. One man wins the Stanley Cup every year. One man out of 32. You can make it even bigger than that because other people can't even get to the NHL. But one out of 32 wins the Stanley Cup every year, right? So you could be the best coach in the world and not win. Carolina hasn't gotten rid of Rod, Brendan Moore, and all the disappointments that they've made. Different story. Rod Brendan Moore won the cup with Carolina. I think he is the most popular Hurricane. I think he is the franchise. I don't think you could fire him and survive. But part of the reason he's so good is because it's been the same message. He's basically helped most of the key players on that team grow into who they are now. And what they do is completely second nature. This was the President's Trophy winning team. They made it to the third round. They lost in part because their best player, who is irreplaceable, was unavailable and then played limited mobility. Their best scorer was hurt in that series. Look, their top lines didn't score. Do I think he got outcoached? A little bit, but I think he was playing with a shortened bench. Jared Bednar's won everywhere he's ever gone. He would be unemployed for exactly 6 seconds. Any thought in the Colorado fan base that you're going to get rid of Jared Bednar is absolute folly. That's where I'm at.
100% agree. Jared Bednar did not become the wrong coach for the Colorado Avalanche because they didn't win a game in the Western Conference final. It doesn't happen that fast, right? It just doesn't happen that fast. He was 100% the right coach and could do anything he wanted after they came back and won game five against the Minnesota Wild in the second round, right? Like, they were on their way. They were going. Makar was hurt. Nichushkin was hurt. McKinnon got hurt. Manson was playing hurt. Nelson didn't finish. Natchez didn't finish. They kind of lost their way a little bit because they got so flustered. That's as much on the players as you know, more on the players than it is on the coach, I think. So I think it would be crazy to change coaches there. And you brought up Rod Brind'Amour. I'll go to John Cooper, right? John Cooper wins the Stanley Cup twice with the Tampa Bay Lightning. They haven't gotten out of the first round since. There's no thought in Tampa of changing because the culture is set. The message is being delivered. They are a competitive team every single season. They are a top team every single season. You don't win every single season. It's really hard to do. And yet they have a chance again next season. I would venture to guess if you pulled 20 people at the start of next season, depending on what transpires in the offseason, but I don't think there's going to be crazy player movement, people are going to say the Tampa Bay Lightning might win the Stanley Cup. If you pulled 20 people at the start of the season next season, some will pick the Colorado Avalanche to win the Stanley Cup because this consistency. And Jared Bednar is a staple of that consistency. So they may be frustrated. They may be analyzing what went wrong. But if it lands at the head of the coach, I think it's a huge mistake because they're not going to find a better one. And I'm going to tell you right now, Bruce Cassidy is the coach out there that everybody looks at and says, he's the guy. If your team's ready to go win the Stanley Cup, or you think you're ready and your window's open, he's the guy. Well, Vegas is not going to release him to go to Colorado. Okay, I can guarantee you that. If they haven't done it yet, unless something drastic changes, they're not going to let him go to Colorado, right? So what's next for you? There's other guys. There's no question about it. Can you pull, some team's going to try to pull a David Carl out of Denver, right, out of college. But is that the right guy for this Avalanche team? They have the right guy. They shouldn't make any drastic changes. They should just come back next year with a chip on their shoulder and an understanding of, we're a really good team, and we can go win the Stanley Cup.
And there's five or six other teams that can win it as well, and one of them might knock us out, and it's a really cruel thing.
Yep.
But David Carl is kind of the boogeyman that's out there, right? Nobody wants to let this guy go if he ever decides to leave Denver, which I'm not sure he's ever going to do. Like, I know, there's been rumors that Toronto's been talking to him and whatever, but why would you leave Denver, right? Like, you're he could coach in Denver for another 10 years and still be one of the youngest coaches in the NHL. He's got nothing but time in front of him, and he is the man. The man. You look, Dave Hextall. He's see, you got confused by my accent.
You thought there were two different people. Your accent totally threw me.
He left the College Power. and he came and he coached in the NHL and it didn't work out. And now he's an assistant. He can't go back to college. Those jobs aren't there. He's an assistant in the NHL, and he was the man. He was the biggest thing in college hockey. He had it made. And I understand wanting to go and prove yourself in the show, but sometimes your gig is so good, there's no, you can't win. You can't win.
David Quinn is the same way. Left Boston University, right? He's never coached a game in the Stanley Cup playoffs other than the qualifiers in 2020 when the Rangers were swept by the Carolina Hurricanes. And now he's an assistant coach with New York. The grass is not always greener. And you're right about Carl, too, is that he's got all the time in the world. Like, he can continue to hone his craft in college and win there and jump at the right opportunity. Where's the right opportunity? When that is? Don't know. That's going to be up for him. But I wouldn't change it. It shouldn't be in Colorado. With the Avalanche, it should be Jared Bednar, and I'll be shocked if it's not. To be, I'll be shocked if it's not. To be honest with you, Sean,
I'll be shocked if it's not, and I'll also be shocked if Nathan MacKinnon doesn't score 150 points next year. That man is mad. He's mad at himself. He's mad at what happened. He's madder than he was at the Olympics. When the famous picture of him holding the teddy bear and looking like he wants to rip its head off, he's madder than that. And rightfully so. He knows he didn't do what he needed to do. He knows his team didn't do what they needed to do. He is going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
I don't know if producer Phil is going to have to bleep that out or not, but he's going to be pissed off. Now he has to bleep it out twice.
No, we can keep that in. We can keep that in. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that MacKinnon is going to watch out for. Makar is absolutely one to watch out for. They're a really good team. They lost. It happens. You move on. You don't win it every year. You got the Vegas Golden Knights now, Sean, in the Stanley Cup final instead. And they're a really good team, too.
Yeah. And all of Colorado's coming back.
Yeah.
Almost the whole team. Jack Drury's a restricted free agent. So they have to sign him, and they have to decide what they're going to do with Brent Burns. I think that's it. Everybody else is back.
I'd bring the band back and take another run at it with this group. I really would. And hope for your sake that health plays a role in a positive way in the playoffs. You know, because it was negative, and it really hurt them. In the analysis, in the post-analysis of that, that's got to be a huge factor. It has to play a huge role in this. So anyway, I'm going back to Vegas. It doesn't matter who they play in the Stanley Cup final. I am going back to Vegas.
It doesn't count.
I'm very disappointed in myself. I really am. But I have to live with it.
Join the club. Now you're part of the club.
But I got to live with it. I'll live with it. We didn't mention there's one little odds and ends thing. Evgeny Malkin, one-year contract, coming back with the Pittsburgh Penguins. So they're bringing the band back together. Not surprised at all by that either, Sean. Malkin getting the deal.
And when he retires, comedy circuit awaits. Yes. I don't know if you saw the video of him signing his contract. That's a funny human being.
Sean, I'll see you next week when we have Stanley Cup Final Media Day in an Eastern Conference city, looking like Raleigh right now. The Vegas Golden Knights will be there. We will be there. The Carolina Hurricanes and maybe the Montreal Canadiens will be there. And away we'll go with the Stanley Cup Final. Until then, enjoy the hockey.